Who's that running the EU? Greece?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. It's not quite like if ever the bankrupt city of Detroit ran the House and Senate budget committees, but beleaguered Greece today takes over the presidency of the European Union. It's a rotating six-month thing, and Greek authorities have imposed an 18-hour ban on protests amid plans for demonstrations against the EU from groups sick and tired of all the austerity that followed the country's debt crisis. Economist Elena Panaritis is CEO of the panel group Thoughts for Action and is a former member of the Greek Parliament. She joins us this morning from Athens. Elena, good morning.
Good morning.
Is it appropriate, do you think, that Greece, with all of its problems, should run the EU for the next few months?
Well, it's part of the deal of being part of the European Union. Each country gets a six-month term of the presidency of the European Union, and there is no discrimination.
And what was I just reading here, that actually Greece has a budget surplus now?
We managed this year to end the year with a primary surplus, which is a great success after such a long 11 waves of austerity that we went through and a very deep 6 years of recession. So we're hoping and we're expecting to continue having that surplus.
It has been a tough road for Greece, and unemployment levels remain at sky-high levels. But in a sense, the Greek experience is something that the rest of Europe needs to really understand.
Well, being the first ones that were burned by that crisis, we've been like the canary in the gold mine. We have lots to teach, if you wish. Right now, as the euro crisis is catching France, all Holland, even Austria, so I think Greece is going to play a very important role in that sense.
Economist Elena Panaritis at the panel group Thought for Action is also author of the book Prosperity Unbound. Elena, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And in the U.S. today, it marks 50 years since President Lyndon Johnson declared his famous War on Poverty. The battle is ongoing, and it turns out gauging success depends partly on how you measure poverty. Kate Davidson reports.
15% of Americans live in poverty. That official rate hasn't dropped much since 1964, but official measurements only count a family's cash income. Sharon Parrott of the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities says they ignore non-cash benefits, which have grown in importance.
So the official poverty measure acts as though the food stamp program or the earned income tax credits don't actually increase people's incomes and help them escape poverty.
Researchers at Columbia University recently found that this fuller range of programs has reduced poverty by 40% since the late 60s. Doug Besheroff of the University of Maryland agrees there's been a lot of progress, but he thinks the official poverty measure works pretty well.
As we change the way we measure it, we effectively move the goalposts, and we also obscure how much has to be done.
There are roughly 50 million Americans living in poverty by either measure, still a ways to go to win the war. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
Want to see Marketplace live? You can enter to win a chance to join us at the Norse Theater in San Francisco on January 28th as we discuss the new era of philanthropy. Details and rules at marketplace.org/trip. You may find it harder to get a mortgage in this new year. New rules are strict, an effort by the government to make the housing market safer. My colleague Carmen Wong Ulrich, host of our program Marketplace Money, has been tracking these new mortgage rules. Carmen, good to see you.
Hello, David. Thanks for having me.
So what's changing here in 2014 when you go to borrow for a house?
There are quite a few changes, and most of these implemented by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and a lot of it is to protect consumers. So, for example, now in terms of mortgages that you can get backed by the FHA, they cannot have any of these interest-only risky mortgages. Those loan options don't exist. Your debt load cannot exceed 43% of your gross monthly income. Now, lenders can make exceptions to that one, but there's also some transparency rules. Just as with credit cards, now lenders have to really spell out your mortgage loud and clear.
Now, if you're sitting there thinking, ooh, this sounds onerous, let's just recall some of the problems rules like this are meant to fix. Remember what it was like before the great collapse? It was the Wild West, right?
Yes, it was the Wild West. You know, a lot of this had to do also with loosening federally backed mortgages that only require 3.5% down. And also in the past, you could have no income verification loans. With the new changes, this really is all about making sure that you actually have the money to keep the house.
But you mentioned this. A lot of money down when you want to buy a house these days.
20% if you have a jumbo. That's another big change here. So that means if you're in that small window, especially if you're in an urban area where your homes are expensive, man, it's a big difference to go from 3.5% down to 20% down. But it actually can be a difference that can protect you in the long run.
Now, many people, by choice or not, ended up in this economy being self-employed. What do these new rules for mortgages mean for them?
Here's the thing. If you are self-employed, these rules put into place actually are even more strident. So it's even going to be a bit harder for folks who are self-employed. And let's not forget that we are becoming a freelance economy. So things I feel down the road are going to have to adjust to that fact. But it is going to be hard to get that mortgage.
Personal finance expert Carmen Wong-Ulrich is host of our show Marketplace Money. She tweets at Live Money. Carmen, thank you.
Thanks, David.
And the renegade founder of McAfee Security Software now says he's happy Intel decided to take his name off the stuff. John McAfee's a controversial figure who spent time on the lam dodging authorities and the media in South America. At the Consumer Electronics Show this week, the current owners of the antivirus and anti-hacker software said it'll be called McAfee No More. Intel Security is the new brand. McAfee left the company back in 1994 with a profit of $100 million. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.